Good morning, everyone. It's always good to see the church clear when I stand up to speak. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, to praise Him and to worship Him. Thank you, Tony, for inviting me, Anne and I, to be among you. It's always a joy to be with you. I'd just like to begin with a little time of quiet. I'd like to just ask the Lord to anoint me and to release us into His presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great and mighty God. And I thank you this morning for the privilege of being your messenger of good news. Lord, may I speak with clarity and with truth. And may our hearts be receptive to hear your truth and to respond. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like us to think this morning about news. There's currently a lot of news about, and some of it is big news. I think often of the wise words of a wily old political commentator who I love to listen to and to whom I respected. Some of you might remember Brian Walden. He was around in the 70s and the 80s. And this is what he said. One of the first lessons a politician learns is while the other parties may be your opponents, you should always look among your own side to find your true enemies. How true are those words? When one thinks of the confrontation ahead with regard to Brexit, we can see already the battleground will not be so much fought in Europe, but a war much closer to home is already raging, having struck at the heart, the very heart of the UK, a war to destroy daily life through division. And by that, of course, I mean devolution. Isn't it always what the enemy tries to do is to sow division? Luke 11, verse 17, Jesus, Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, said this to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house will fall." Perhaps the same can be said in the US at this current time. A house divided against itself will fall. And of the Middle East, enough said. But one thing we can all agree this morning, there's a lot of news around. Hasn't there always been? Some of you might remember when the news was broadcast only at certain times of the day. There was the 6 o'clock news, the 9 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news. Go back further before radio and TV, people had to rely on the daily newspaper to receive what was going on in the world. When the Titanic sank in 1912, people back home only heard about it 2 days later. And during the Great War, it took 3 days for the news to filter back to the UK. It's not surprising that people back then didn't bother much with the news. Today, news has become the biggest thing. It's 24-hour, 7-day news. It's a multi-trillion dollar industry. It outsells everything. The pressure these days, at all costs, to find a story, get a story, make news happen, is huge. And of course, bad news sells big. Of Jewish and Arab believers worshipping together in the land of Israel, such news you will never hear. But have you considered who decides what is news and what isn't? Who decides what are the headlines? I remember many years ago the BBC ran a schools programme one morning which showed how they put the news together. At the beginning of each day, a group of mainly young lefty editors all sat round a table and they decided what would be the main news item of the day, with other news items running alongside. They had the power then to decide what was newsworthy. Now, this still happens, but of course, much has changed, namely the social media revolution. It has changed everything. News today is quick, soundbite, and immediate. News is considered old the moment it is broadcast and read. Probably why most people have ditched buying a newspaper and now read the news on their iPhones or iPads or tablets. 44% of people read their news today through Facebook. And yet news media is still thriving and growing. How can that be? Because its main objective is not to tell the truth, but to control and set the new agenda. And there's no surprise there. The word global, new world order, frequently comes to mind when we think of listening to the news. But let us consider for a moment, news isn't always what it seems. The first thing is news propaganda. We're all used to the word propaganda, and the definition of propaganda is information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote a political cause or point of view. It's suffice to say, the reporting of political, religious, educational, health, and scientific news can and does suffer from propaganda. Charts and graphs and figures and polls are great examples of such biased abuse used to purport a certain point of view. We know of one Adolf Hitler who used propaganda to great effect. And when it comes to the reporting of Israel, we are all too well aware of propaganda by the media. Isn't it interesting that we've not seen any marches to Trafalgar Square? This is, by the way, about the continuing atrocity in Syria, the current devastation out there, pictures of dying children. One wonders what it would take for people to get out on the streets here in the UK to march to Trafalgar Square. Yet with Israel, just a few years ago, fighting to defend itself, any opportunity drove the masses out into the London streets. But Syria, nothing. It's quiet, no marches. Such is the hypocrisy of political and spiritual propaganda aimed towards Israel and the Jewish people. But then we know this world is biased against truth. In more recent times, we've learnt to live with a new word, spin. When I was young and growing up, spin used to mean to spin around, to spin wool into yarn, or take a trip in the car. I'm going for a spin. These days, spin has a more sinister meaning. For spin is a new form of propaganda, providing a biased interpretation of an event or to campaign to persuade public opinion in favour or against some organisation or public figure. Spin often implies the use of disingenuous, deceptive, and highly manipulative tactics. Now, perhaps we can lay the blame at New Labour for the initiation of spin, but I suspect spin has been around a good many years before 1997. What it has done is to blur the line between what is fact and what is fiction, between what is fact and opinion. Have you noticed everyone these days has an opinion? Think for yourself and say it. Again, social media has encouraged everyone to have an opinion. Everyone knows. Then this year, we've heard a new phrase, fake news. Fake news. Fake has become fashionable. A few years ago, there was a story of the fake sheikh, an undercover journalist who dressed as a fake sheikh to obtain news stories for various newspapers, and he was jailed in 2016. But since that time, the word fake has become more prevalent in our media. We're all aware of fake goods, fake items, counterfeit goods, deliberately made to look genuine. There's fake handbags, fake jewellery, fake perfume, fake tan, fake £1 coins. The list is endless. We live in a fake world, all false. But what about fake news? Fake news is a new form of propaganda. The new US president certainly believes in fake news, which is different from the propaganda and spin. It's different from spin, different from exaggeration, different from denial. Fake news, he states, is made up news, It's not genuine. It's a type of hoax news, of misinformation, deliberately fake, which is weaved into ordinary news to make it look real. Is it true or not? How can we know? How can we know what is fake? How can we know what is counterfeit? How can we know what is propaganda? What is spun? It's all a bit disconcerting and concerning, for I'm sure that each one of us here watches or listens to the news. Even if we say we don't, we're still interested as we wake up each day as to what the news headline will be. Whether we watch the BBC on our phone or on TV or listen on the radio or on any app, I'm sure that each of us are concerned for the news of the day. But it's getting harder to decipher what is genuine and what is not, what is true, what is not. Take food, for example. One day eggs are good for you, the next day they are not. Then fat is bad, now fat is good. Take vitamin A, don't take vitamin A. Fruit is good for you, don't eat fruit, my dentist says, it's too acidic. Now too much fish is bad for you. You must buy diesel, Gordon Brown said. Now diesel is the worst pollutant, killing us all. Propaganda, spin, fake, fiction, fact. How can we know what is true and right? We are living today in a fast information technology world, but we're also living in the last days, which the Bible calls the days of great deception. We are living in days of great deception. What was once understood, respected, and accepted, everything now is being questioned. Everything's up for grabs. It's as if the ground beneath us is shifting fast. Someone once asked the question, what is truth? On that occasion, Yeshua came before Pilate. Pilate said to him, what is truth? That's a good question. What is truth? How can we recognize truth? How can I know what is true and what is not? Do you wonder sometimes what is true? When I was at theological college years ago, one of the subjects I enjoyed studying most was postmodernism. Since the 1930s, what was objective truth has now become subjective truth. Everything is now a competing narrative. In other words, as Melanie Phillips coined the phrase, we have become the me generation. It's all about me, my experience, my feelings, my truth. Simply put, postmodernism states, truth is whatever you want it to be. If it's true for you, then that's good, but it might not be true for me. But go beyond that. We're in post-postmodern world today. And for me, the most worrying thing is that people today don't necessarily care what is true and what isn't. They simply look for news which fits their own thinking, their own ideas, their own prejudices. I look for the news that I want to read. This is post-postmodernism. Now, of course, the newspapers have always had a particular slant, the Mail, the Telegraph, the Sun. But now on social media, we can choose what we want to read, how we want to read it, and what concerns us. And the fact is, with propaganda, spin, fake news, and let's be honest, at times downright lies, we can all be deceived. And that's the key word, is deception. We can so easily be deceived. It's hard to know these days what to believe. Listen to these words, Matthew 24:5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Mark 13:6. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and he will deceive many. Mark 13:22, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's the most worrying text. Mark 13:22. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So I speak this morning with humility to both as unbeliever, and if you're here as a believer in Yeshua, even as believers, we can be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived. We need to remember, of course, who is the great deceiver and who is the prince of the airwaves. Of course, it's Satan. It's all his fault. He's the one to blame. But not fully. One of the ways we can be deceived is to deceive ourselves in not allowing ourselves to hear or listen or want to know the truth. One of the ways we can be deceived is to deceive ourselves in not allowing ourselves to hear or listen or want to know the truth. We can live out our lives in denial with the pretense of Christianity, but our lives lived out in denial. Denial as to what's going on, denial as to how we feel, and denial as to looking ahead to the future. Like the ostrich, we can bury our heads in the sand and pretend all is well when it's not. Now, I dare to suggest this morning that there will in each one of us be areas where we will live in denial or be in denial. Instead of dieting, we go out and buy bigger clothes. Some of us will not look in the mirror anymore. With others, it will be age. With others, health, feelings, attitudes, perhaps the thought of dying. To others, it will be the very existence of God, the birth, the death, the resurrection of his son, Jesus, as Clayton shared a few moments ago. 70% are honest enough to say what they believe. To others, the continuing power of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit still work in our lives today? There are many who deny a just and holy God, of any coming judgment, of a place of eternal punishment. Such a God to these people there can never be. And there are even those who deny the Holocaust ever happened, or that there have been for 70 years a state of Israel. How can that be possible? But even in the church, some of the churches that I travel around, I can tell you it's possible. That's why entertainment, sport, music, art, drama has become a godlike icon. It exists, it's been created as an escape mechanism for human beings to help us in our quest to forget and get away from a sin-ridden world, but also get away from ourselves. But our concern should not be about forgetting. Our concern should be about denying, living in denial. Now, the Bible is a great source of denial for many. The Word of God speaks of such days when people will not want to hear the truth or seek the truth or know the truth. For sure, sin has blinded truth. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you come to the Bible like you would a newspaper, only reading what you want to read, only selecting those texts which fit your own theology or belief? Perhaps you do it for good intention. But the danger is we can also be very selective of how we come to God's word. So here are some texts. You decide if they're true. Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Isaiah 53 verse 4, I ought to shout this really with the windows open. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if that verse 6 of Isaiah 53, if that doesn't describe the world in which we live today, I don't know what does. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" He may well have asked in a sardonic tone, but it was still a great question to ask. I wish more people today, including believers, would seek and ask, "What is true? Where can I find the truth? Where can I be true to myself in the Lord?" Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." People in the last days before Jesus returns will not want to hear the truth, preferring to live in spiritual darkness, their hearts having become hard, their minds now closed, and others will prefer to comfort themselves with some form of religious titillation. Whether it be the emergent church or the Jewish roots movement, an ever closer union with the wider church, such spiritual deception has come and is here in different forms, tempting, enticing, drawing away many. Now, Yeshua says in Mark 13, verse 22, "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect." So the question begs, I hope, this morning, do I really want to know the truth? How can I know the truth? How can I discern what is right and wrong? What is true and what is fiction? And I hope you're here this morning, not just to worship God and have wonderful fellowship together, but you're here to want to discover and discern what is true. Now, how can we do this? By simply knowing and believing in Jesus. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no other way. Doesn't matter how good we are, how religious we've been, where we've come from, what our backgrounds have been, there is only one way, through Jesus. Perhaps you're here and suffering this morning from the effect of sin, living a false life of denial, not experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus promises to each one of us. John writes in 1 John 1, verse 8, "Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We need to be sure that when we come to the Lord, we come with open hearts. We come with no agenda, with nothing hidden, because the Lord wants us 100%. Come to Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life a ransom for us all. John 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," or set you free. And this Passover time, as someone Jewish, I can say, I've truly been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Now, how can we know the truth? Jesus prays to the Father, John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now, today is not a day to deny the truth. It takes courage, real courage, to be honest with ourselves, to look in the mirror, not just in the physical mirror, but to look in the mirror of our soul and come before the Lord. How can I recognize the truth? How can I know that I'm not being deceived or that I'm deceiving myself? We have the answer in John 16, verse 13. "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." We have the wonderful promise of Yeshua this morning. When we come to know him as our Lord our judge, our saviour and our king, when we repent of our sin, when we invite him into our heart, when we commit our life to him, when we put our faith and trust in him, when we seek his truth rather than going looking for it in the world, then we are promised, John 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Don't forget John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The problem is that we can think we have the truth, but we can quench the Holy Spirit by living in denial. Areas of our lives, in our mind, that we've not fully submitted and given over to the Lord. Lord, you can have all this, but I'm going to hang on to this. I'm not pointing a finger at you. This is my own prayer as I come before the Lord. Lord, search me, as David prayed. Search me. Search my heart. Search my mind. Search my motive. I want to be wholly yours. When we pray that kind of prayer, the Holy Spirit will take us at our word. He will come in. He has promised to give to each believer a very special gift, the gift of discernment. If ever we need a gift in today's world, we need the gift of discernment to know what is true and what is not, in the church and out in the world. The risen life of Yeshua living in us promises to guide us into all truth as we put our faith and trust in him, as we walk daily with him, as we pray to him and commit our lives to him, as we read his word, as we pray and fellowship together, then the truth of God's word will be lived in us. So in closing, can you tell the difference between what news is true and fact and what is spun and fake? Can you tell the difference between the true gospel and the fake gospel? There are many fake gospels out there today. The true gospel, the true good news, gives life. The fake gospel brings death. Do not settle for fake news, political or religious spin, false promises, or much worse, a false gospel. A gospel that pacifies, that comforts, but does not renew and transform our life. Come to Jesus today. He alone is the way, the truth and the life. Take courage. It takes courage to look at yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. Take courage. Be prepared to loose what has bound you for many years. Do not allow yourself to be deceived, and do not deceive yourself. Remember Yeshua's words, John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. With those words I close, abide in me and I in you. We have the best news of all. We need to get out there this Passover, this Easter, every day to challenge the world, the church, and to fight against the devil. May I close just in a word of prayer? O Lord Yeshua, you are the best news of all. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, that for those of us who have sought you, who have found you, you are doing a new thing in us. The old has gone, the new has come. We thank you for your Holy Spirit promised to us. We thank you for the wonderful gift of discernment that we need. But Lord, I pray for myself and for perhaps many of us here of self-deception, which is so subtle that, Lord, in deceiving ourselves, we are not entering into the fullness of your glory. Lord, forgive us, we pray. Search us. Search our hearts, Lord. If there be anything in me that is self-deception, that is quenching your spirit, that is living in a denial, that's not wanting to face the truth, then, Lord, bring it to the surface, bring it to my lips, so that I can confess it before you. Lord, have your way in us. Come, Lord Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. May you reveal your truth to us today. And may we take your word of truth out to a dying and decaying world, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our work colleagues, to folk who we meet in the street. We have wonderful good news. News that's not spun, news that's not fake, news that's not fiction. For Lord, you are fact. You are true. Help us, Lord, to live truthful lives. And do a work in us, we pray, for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen.